Good afternoon, everybody. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio, Texas. It's a beautiful day here. It's hot, but I like it hot. I don't have any complaints about the weather. It reminds me of a song that I just learned. I know a lot of songs. Leonard Skinner, you might have heard of them. It's one of my favorite bands I know. Free Bird. How many people out there know Free Bird? Let me by a show of hands. Uh-huh. All right. Yes. Good. And how many know Simple Man? That song, I sing that, it's been a while. At the Wounded Warriors, it's been since December since I sang over there. And guess what? I've actually scheduled a time in August to go back there. And I had sung every month, once a month, for 4 years. All the way to December, and then I had to take a break because I was really busy at work learning new duties. And so anyway, I've got this repertoire of songs that I sing my songs over there. And Leonard Skinner, I know, besides Free Bird and Simple Man, Sweet Home Alabama. And I've just learned a new one called The Breeze. They call me The Breeze. And one of the verses goes like this. There ain't no change in the weather. There ain't no changes in me. There ain't no change in the weather. There ain't no changes in me. I ain't hiding from nobody. And nobody's hiding from me. Oh, Lord, that's the way it's supposed to be. Anyway, so my point is, why complain about the weather? I know it's a great topic of conversation, right? But too hot or it's too cold, well, if that's really the way you feel, you need to find a place where it's perfect. And some of the places around the world where the weather is very temperate, you know, not too hot or not too cold, I've had the wonderful opportunity of living there. San Diego, California is one such place. Guadalajara, Mexico. I lived there from 1971 to 73. I went to high school there, graduated from high school in 73. And also my last work assignment in the Army before I retired was in Caracas, Venezuela, at the military group there. And Caracas, even though it's like 10 degrees north of the equator, the weather is beautiful, very temperate. 3,000 feet above sea level. Guadalajara is 5,000 feet above sea level. And about a mile. But Caracas is a little bit less, but still, that height makes the temperature very temperate all year round. Not too hot, not too cold. Of course, not too cold. Anyway, how have you all been? I've been all right. Surviving day by day and getting more enjoyment, I think, than I have in the last few months. My aches and pains, not complaining, but the fact is I hurt my ankle. I think I told you about that. And that is pretty much healed. I actually went and got an x-ray and it revealed that there was some kind of a fracture, stress fracture, I'm not sure, but one of the less serious types of fractures. So, I haven't been able to run. It was the running that actually made it happen, I think. Back in May, I was trying to get in shape to run. I think I mentioned that on a previous show with the Army on the Army's birthday and on Fort Sam Houston. And I was getting up to speed. I actually run 3.36 miles without stopping, which is pretty good, you know, don't you think? I'll be 64 years old on the 9th of August, and I don't feel that old. I don't think I look that old. People tell me I look very young. My gray goatee, that kind of lets people know that I'm not as young as they think I am. You know what I mean? And now I'm growing a beard. Anyway, what else? I had a tooth pulled the other week. Oh, I went through some very painful times with that. A little bit of infection set in, I think, and I hadn't been taking my antibiotics, so I started taking those religiously like I was supposed to. You know, I'd taken them for a couple of days, and I thought everything was going to be okay because I wasn't feeling any pain, and all of a sudden, boom. Now, I'm feeling pretty good, and I'm walking now, taking my time. I'm not doing the fast walk or, you know, running a little bit. The time I do get my heart rate up is when I go to Zumba. I went to Zumba today for about an hour. And so, yeah, I think that's a good thing, you know, getting the heartbeat up. But other than that, as far as walking is concerned, I'm going to just take my time, breathe through my nose like you're supposed to, they say. You know, I've been experimenting with that, breathing through my mouth, thinking that, you know, you get more oxygen in the body, things are better. I'd mentioned that on a previous show, and now I'm of a different frame of mind. And you can read about it all over the internet. They say even people that are running are supposed to breathe through their nose. I've tried that, and it's very difficult. But walking, just breathing through your nose, it helps regulate your speed, your pace, you know, and it purifies the air. And still, you can keep up a good pace, you know, but breathing through the nose is important. I've been doing that for about a week, maybe not quite a week, and I feel better. So what I said on a previous show, maybe 2 months ago, I take that back. Now I believe that it's a nice, easy walk. And I remember reading about this one guy who was a marathon runner, and he didn't have any health issues, but he decided all of a sudden that he wasn't going to continue doing that. And he did some research, and his conclusion was that just taking your time, walking, getting out walking, that's important. Yes, that's important. But the hurting yourself running, you know, maybe that's okay for young people, but just taking your time, breathing in through your nose, smelling the fresh air, you know, smelling the roses, as they say, it's just as good. You know, it's better for your well-being because you're not stressed out. You're not trying to be fast. You know, sometimes we go too fast, don't we? You know, just see all the signs. Remember that song by the Eagles, Take It to the Limit? Let me sing a little bit for you. All alone at the end of the evening, and the bright lights have faded to blue. I was thinking about a woman who might love me that I never knew. You know, I've always been a dreamer. Spend my life running round, and it's so hard to change. Can't seem to settle down, but the dreams I've seen lately keep on turning out, burning out, and turning out the same. So put me on a highway, show me a time, and take it to the limit one more time. So that was the Eagles, Take It to the Limit. Don't we always? I mean, the signs on the road, 65, you know, 70 miles an hour, 35, 45, 50, whatever. Don't we take it every time? You know, most people, the majority of people, take it to the limit and beyond. That's the kind of society we live in. And so, my recommendation would be to take your time, be like Usain Bolt, you know, one of the fastest men in the world. You know, he won how many? 8 Olympic gold medals. The last three Olympics, she won the 100 meter, 200 meter, and the 400 meter relay with his teammate. So then he did the world championship the year after the Olympics, and he lost. He got third place, you know, very close race. Well, I love Usain Bolt. I think he's great. And now he's not going to race anymore. I wish he would in the 2020 Olympics, but I understand if he doesn't want to. There's a lot of work and effort that goes into training for an Olympics, you know. But he will go down in history as one of the fastest men. Maybe Jesse Owens was just as fast, you know, back then around those times. You know, Jesse Owens competed in the Olympics in Germany, right? In 1938, I think. And he won some gold medals there. And he did the 100 meter in like 10.3 seconds. But back then, they had different shoes. The ground surface was different, you know. Now everything is geared for higher speed, you know, less time. Anyway, so Usain Bolt, he doesn't like doing the speed limit. He always drives less than the speed limit. What does that tell you? Well, maybe nothing. But for me, it tells me, I mean, to you, nothing. But for me, it tells me that we should slow down a little bit. And, you know, I'm going to kind of wing it this hour here. I've got lots of time. I haven't really prepared much over the last 2 weeks, so I've got some ideas to talk about. I'm going to read a little bit from my book for you. But first of all, I'd like to say something about Facebook. You know, I enjoy going on Facebook once in a while. I don't go on too often. I post videos of myself on there singing. And that's what I've done that many times. Also, I've got videos of myself singing on YouTube. And don't you know, they've actually, well, I don't want to say anything bad about them, but I noticed that they lost $119 billion in trading the other day. And I was thinking, you know, all the competition that's going on nowadays, when you turn on the TV, and with politics especially, right, you know, Democrats and the Republicans going after each other. There's the accusations about collusion with the Russians. You know, it goes back and forth. And so it's such a topic of heated rhetoric, you know. I can feel it even as I talk about it. And that competition, it really isn't healthy. Don't you agree? We should be liking each other more. You know, as human beings living here together on this planet, there are better things than just saying bad things about one side or the other. You know, one side wins, and then the next side spends its time until the next election talking trash about, you know, that the other party and saying things about them that is unkind. Well, kind of like stabbing them in the back, you know, always on their case. As soon as they get into power, you know, the other side is always at them. Is that really a way to run the country? And with this competition going on between the Republicans and the Democrats, there's no benefit, if you will, for the people. We, the people, should be the wealth, their welfare should be what they're looking after. That should be their concern, not fighting with each other back and forth, one thing, another, you know? It goes on day by day, daily, at each other's throats, finding new things, you know, the side that lost is experiencing the loss and hoping for victory in the next election. On the other side, just rides it out and, you know, retaliates. Anyway, so I was thinking one way we could show a little bit more love towards each other is on Facebook. we could be liking more things. I've got a lot of friends, you know, hundreds, actually. I don't see why not. You know, there's different people from around the world. Why not be friends with them? And I've got a suggestion. Well, before I say that, let me just say, all these different posts, people seem to be very stingy, if you will, with their likes. And we should be liking each other more. We should be adoring each other as human beings on this planet. We should be loving, just like Jesus said, we need to love each other. Now, I've talked about Jesus many times before. I could talk about Jesus for hours. The thing is, and I've told you, I don't know, I've probably got a lot of new people listening in. And Jesus, I think, in my opinion, was a very advanced soul, very, very intelligent, with some extraterrestrial ties, and beings that were out there that had orchestrated a lot of what he did in regard to the miracles. And that's the truth. Can you feel it? It's the bigger picture, my friend. Because there's only so much the Bible can tell us about what happened, but then there are the further details that we can glean from other sources, books, people that have had near-death experiences and talk with Jesus, talk with God. One such person, a near-death experience I remember, is by a man named Lou Formoso. Now, how's that for a name? Let me get a drink of water. And these people that have near-death experiences, they changed their lives in a way that was very noticeable. We see them how they were before, and we see how they are afterwards. And one with a really logical mind can only conclude that what they experienced was real. So Lou Formoso was a Vietnam veteran, and he came back from Vietnam. I got the dog here. Hey, right, guys, come on, come on. You going out with it? The dogs, we've got four dogs. Two just came out to the patio. There goes one. She's laying out. Yeah. I was out here in the patio just before my show started today. And, this might be too much information, but I had picked up the dog doo-doo, shall we say. And being out here in the patio, it began to smell a little bit, so I kind of rushed to get it done before my show, out there in the sun picking that up. But I've since cleaned myself off and good to go. So one of the dogs just went out, is sitting in the sun now. She's on her chair. She has a chair. It's like a throne to her. We say it's her throne. Anyway, so Lou Formoso was on his way to a party in a brand new Mustang that he bought when he got home to the world, you know, to the United States. And he was going 100 miles an hour when he lost control and it flipped end over end several times and landed and caught on fire. And he crawled out. And he had a huge gaping head wound. And to make a long story short, he found himself going through that typical tunnel that we hear about that people, when they have near-death experiences, people just like you and me. My ex-wife had a near-death experience, by the way. And he had a face-to-face encounter with God. I actually gave a speech on that one time at Toastmasters, and it goes something like this. He found himself in this world of light. Go figure, where's that world of light? Must be around here somewhere. And so all of a sudden, things started filling in like painting a canvas, like a blank canvas with paint and color and objects. And he found himself in this beautiful, beautiful world, if you will. And he saw this small golden ball of light coming towards him. And as it approached him, it grew larger and larger and larger until it was about the size of a beach ball, you know, how big they are. And it stopped directly in front of him and then transformed into this beautiful being made of light, a very special kind of light, as if the being was made of pure light, maybe like with a nuclear charge, and then outlined as if with a fine quill pen of light, you know? Do you know what I mean? And this being was maybe twice the size of a man. And he realized that he was in the presence of the Creator. And the Creator said to him, among other things, he said that man will pray, P-R-E-Y, on men until man learns to pray, P-R-A-Y, for men. So, to summarize that, my friends, we need to pray for each other, because if we don't, we're going to be killing each other. So there you have your choice. We either pray for each other, or we're going to be killing each other. Does that make sense? You think you can remember that? I'm just joking. I don't want to say anything negative on my show, but I'm sometimes a little bit facetious, if you will. Anyway, so I think one way to make the world a better place is to bring it closer to heaven. Bring heaven and earth closer together, my friends. So haven't I just done that? Heaven is a world of light, a very special light, the light of God, Creator. And remember what I said on other shows. You have the supreme Creator of the universe, who created the universe with the Big Bang, and the first solar system was created, and then another, and another, and yet still another, and many more, until there was a sufficient quantity to establish the first galaxy. Yes, that really happened. Because why? Because the Creator, the supreme original Creator, who existed when nothing existed at one time. To better understand that, imagine, if you will, darkness and silence going on and on and on. And all of a sudden, the Creator said to his herself, I want to grow. I want to expand. How can I do this? I have to imagine everything that will be, all the little people, everything that needs to be in order for our universe to exist, which will include planets, moon, sun, of course, and then a very special being on the planet, moons. Of course, on those particular planets, there would be life, animal life, plant life. That's another force. So God did command the four forces of the universe. The first force was, I forget the name of it, I read it from this book called Abduction to the Ninth Planet. But basically that first force was the force that created the suns and the planets and the moons. And the second force was the force that created the animal and plant life. And then the third force was the different sentient beings on those planets. You know, like here on Earth, we have human beings in another solar system, maybe the neighboring solar system. It could be a different type of species, like an avatar, you know, or blue bodies, or maybe the beings that you hear about you see on TV all the time, E.T., the extraterrestrial, or Close Encounters of the Third Kind, the little gray beings, but there's so many of them. And I'm going to read from you, read something from my book. My book is called The Great Brain and the Golden Soul, people. Come on, people, why aren't you reading my book? It will tell you so much, all you need to know. Look, you can't fool me. I know that if an asteroid was on its way to hit Earth, our planet, and it could, you know it could, it's happened before in the past. Hello? It's happened before in the past. Just because our scientists and astronomers are able to predict the path of some of the asteroids out there, probably less than 1%, and in our solar system alone, you know they come from other solar systems. Doesn't mean that there isn't one out there with planet Earth written all over it. You know, just think, one maybe 50 miles wide, they've hit Earth, the impact of that, what it would be like, 50 miles wide, traveling at 20,000 miles an hour. So, if we knew that was coming, people would be scrambling to know everything they could about what happens when we die, where we're going, all about our spirit, the nature of our spirit. Yeah. But people don't plan for that now. I mean, we don't even have a base on the moon or Mars. We're taking our sweet time getting there and doing that when really the survival of the human species depends on not only the United States, but all the other countries around the world to get together and create some bases on the moon and Mars so that we can ensure the longevity of the human species. Agreed, people? Yeah. My boss at work, his name is Tony Jones, and he's a great man. He might even be listening right now. I don't know. I might have a lot of people that I know who are listening. And so a shout out to them, my son Bryce, my sister Eleanor, different people who might know me. We need to put our priorities in order. Yeah, and so Tony, I think on one of my previous radio shows, I said something like, come on, people. Well, I didn't mean to offend anybody with that. I'm just, you know, people can say that to me. I don't mind. It's like come on, we need to do better. We need to wisen up. We need to get smarter. We need to do the right thing for us, for everybody. Yeah. So, as I mentioned, I'm going to read from my book, Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. Why did I name it that? Well, let me answer your question, because the spirit, one of our dogs, his name is Mr. Beta. There you go, buddy. He was just doing his ablutions in the backyard, so I just let him in. And so I called that the Gray Brain, the Golden Soul, because I had noticed that people were struggling to identify what the soul is. You know, saying all these things that did not make sense to me. And then I found out from different sources, without going into the details, that the soul is like the brain of the spirit. Very simple. Our physical bodies have a brain and a spirit, which all of us have inside our bodies. Agreed, right? Most people would agree with that, yeah? That angels exist too? Yeah, yeah. So we have a spirit, but the guiding brain, if you will, of our spirit is the soul. And the soul has access to all of our previous lifetimes. Because reincarnation, my friend, is a reality. It does exist. We're on a journey of our soul evolving throughout time and space. This life here on Earth is but a step along the way. It goes on for years and years and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Our souls, are you ready for this? Now, hold on. I'm going to tell you something that's going to surprise you. It's going to shock you. You might just sit down. You might need to sit down, my friend, wherever you are out there in Iran, possibly in Russia, Canada, down at the southern tip of South Africa, maybe in Alaska, listening to internet radio, PBS radio. Hooray for PBS radio. May God bless PBS radio for all the great shows they have, the wonderful people that give these shows that talk about esoteric stuff that you need for your spirit to develop, you know? Where else? Maybe in China, even. Are you listening, China person? Maybe more than one. Yeah, you like me because I tell the truth. Just like Jesus did. They tried to kill him, but that was the plan. You know, he had to die on the cross so he could come back to life. He knew that. Because that, my friends, is the greatest miracle of all time. There's no greater miracle. Even raising Lazarus from the dead does not compare to when you hang on a cross. You're coming in, there's another dog going inside. Come on, hey, come on, hey, come on. So these dogs are coming in, going out, coming in, going out. Anyway, so yeah, even raising Lazarus from the dead, there was no miracle greater in the history of this world than the resurrection. Jesus, my brother, died on the cross. His heart stopped beating and stopped breathing. Yes, they took him down. They put him in the cave, in his grave. And then he came back to life. And I know how. I've explained it before in, I think, two previous shows. And my knowledge of that is very secure. You know, when you're sure about something, there's a feeling of contentment. That, yeah, that's the truth. I know it. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, I'll listen to people and their opinion. But when you know something, you know something. You don't believe it, you know it. It's like the extraterrestrials that are out there. I know it. I don't believe that the universe is teeming with lies, my friends. I know it. I know that they're out there. The main reason that they're not here and we haven't contacted with them, we haven't had contact, is because the human species, as they know it, is a very aggressive one with warlike tendencies and killing that has gone on for centuries and is still going on. So is it any wonder they don't want us to join them, you know, in like an intergalactic community? So we need to love each other more. I was saying that. And before I go into that news that's going to shake your world, rock your world, let me just say, I call on Facebook to create a new thing besides like. And remember, like more people, like more posts. It doesn't cost you any money, okay? You're not giving away. I know you're very stingy with your likes, but stop being so stingy. Start liking more people, especially all the people that you know. Because I put some stuff on Facebook, like I said, singing videos, and I think I do a pretty good job, yet not many people like that. Why are they so stingy with their likes? Don't you like me? I like you, you know? But I call on Facebook to create something new called love, which is a little bit higher than like. Well, none of the negative stuff like dislike or maybe hate, but just like and love. Wouldn't that be cool? That way, I think that would increase the love that we need to have for each other so we can help make the world a better place so that we can survive as a human species and not destroy ourselves. Because we should be loving each other. We should be adoring each other. You know, praise each other more. Say good things about your friend, your neighbor. Come on. I know it's hard because you got a big ego. We have big egos, right? But does it hurt so much to say, good job? No, I'm just kidding. I'm getting tired of hearing that. doesn't make a lot of sense. It says that good work, or that was well done, or you are awesome. I love you. You are great. Wow, that was fantastic. You are just the best thing I've ever heard or seen. That was a sermon for the ages. You did wonderfully. That was great work. There's so many things that we can say. Don't get stuck in the rut of saying, same old thing. Good job. Job. It's a job. A job is a work. It defines what you do. It doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, we got to be careful with our verbiage, our semantics. Don't you agree? We got to mean what we say and say what we mean. I mean, we're smart people. You out there are going to be a co-creator God one day. I've been looking at people each and every day and thinking to myself, that person one day will be a God. You are a God. Don't you know that you are living? You can die. You are God. You are a future God. You are a co-creator God apprentice. You one day will go through that after evolving through on that evolutionary ladder. You will, through reincarnating many more lifetimes, perhaps not so many lifetimes, you will achieve that co-creator God status, my friend. You, but we are all, some of us here on earth are advanced souls, old souls, and some are new souls, young souls, you know. But we're still all equal in that sense that we are souls. We're on a soul journey. We are having our own experiences. We're evolving. And the object is to graduate from this world, you know, and reach a higher level of evolution, if you will. There's other planets out there in the universe, even in the Milky Way galaxy, for the next step up, different levels like grades, you know, kindergarten through 12th grade, that kind of thing. You know, depending on how you do here on Earth, you know, everything is being recorded. That's why when we've heard we have a life review afterwards, after we die, that judgment day, it's real, it happens, it will. And so they look back and all the hurt and pain that you caused people, conversations that you've had that where you have said something unkind about somebody, or maybe you got into a fight with somebody when you were in the fifth grade, punched them in the face, and that pain, you'll experience it from like three different viewpoints, from observing what had happened back then in the past. You observe it from being where you were in your body at that time, punching somebody in the face or getting punched in the face. The other perspective is from the person who you hurt or who hurt you. You feel their emotions, what caused them to do that, to say those things that made you angry, or vice versa, if you know what I mean. So getting back to that earth-shattering news I was going to tell you about, it's going to rock your world. Are you ready? Are you ready? You just sit down. Let me get you to sit down, okay? Because this is going to really, this is like the news of the century. It's going to really make your day, okay? Are you ready? Are you truly ready, my friend? Are you ready? Okay. Your soul, brain of your spirit, is eternal. It's going to last forever. You will exist forever. How old are you here on Earth? Me? I'll be 64 in a few days. I mean, we're talking not only thousands of years, my friend, but millions. Eternal. You know the word eternal, don't you? What that means? You are eternal. Are you shaking right now? Okay, just calm down. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You kind of knew that, didn't you? You knew that. All right. Okay, you're calm. So let me continue reading. Let me read what I was going to tell you about. The chapter from my book is called Extraterrestrials, God's Other Children. So with the third force of creation, the original spirit creator created sentient life on all the planets within the universe. In fact, the universe is teeming with life. According to information I've learned here on Earth, the creators of the movie Star Wars, let me get my reading thing here. By the way, Star Wars, I don't like that title. You know, because all these fantasy movies are characteristics of people who are in the lower evolutionary stages who don't understand that war and killing has no future. You know, all they care about is money, really. Don't you agree? They don't care about ensuring the longevity of the human race. So I've got this. And they can do so much good with their special effects, you know. More movies on near-death experiences like Heaven is for Real, Miracles in Heaven, or maybe Alien Encounters. Okay, well, I've got my phone here. Just turned sideways. I continue reading here now without having to hold my phone. Okay. So, the creators of the movie Star Wars have been incredibly accurate with some of the sentient life forms developed for those movies. Oh, Simba, here comes the cat. Everyone's coming out. We have a cat named Simba. He's, Simba, what you doing, buddy? Simba? Simba? I can get him to meow. Simba? 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 How you doing, buddy? He's a beautiful cat. I grew up with cats. My parents had cats all the while I was growing up. Anyway, so some of the sentient life forms developed those movies. I wonder if their imagination was inspired by divine and or otherworldly sources. Hey, as discussed in the chapter Categories of Planets in my book, planets throughout the universe are categorized on a scale from 1 to 9 based on the evolutionary level of spirituality inherent to and of that particular planet. Specifically, 1 being the lowest evolved and 9 the highest. According to the book, The Contact Has Begun, by Philip Kraft, there exists a federation composed of civilizations of sentient beings from planets throughout the universe. Who did that? Named the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. The membership is composed of over 27,000 extraterrestrial civilizations. Each of these civilizations has evolved to the point where they are peaceful and believe in the proliferation of peace throughout a peaceful universe. During the course of evolution of any species of sentient beings, there are 2 main prerequisites that determine whether or not they will escape the confines of their planet, travel through space, and eventually become a member of the IFSP. They are 1, having appendages, you know, like hands, and 2, the ability to transcend their environment, planets. The Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets is familiar with most inhabited planets throughout the universe. However, because of the universe's vast dimensions, there are some regions that are yet unexplored. For those inhabited planets, upon discovery of a new civilization, the IFSP initiates a period of observation for approximately 1,000 years. Within that time, contact is progressively made in a series of methodical and purposeful encounters. Eventually, the entire civilization is made aware of an imminent meeting between the members of the 2 species. The goal is to eventually meet with the leaders of that world under peaceful conditions in a summit-like situation. Consequently, the new civilization is admitted into the IFSP, technology is shared, and another species becomes star travelers. Hey, we were going to do that, but guess what happened? 9/11. I threw a monkey wrench into their plans because we were already borderline, my friends. And so when that happened, they changed their minds about us and said, well, we were going to give these people a break, you know, because there are a lot of good people in the world, you know, the artists, the musicians, the ones who care for people. But then there's the minority of tyrants, dictators, bullies, killers, you know, and they kind of rooted for us again. We were going to make contact with an extraterrestrial species and have them share their technology. We would have been like Star Trek. Isn't that cool? The plans have been put into place. They were abducting people to indoctrinate them, orient them into the eventual summit that we were going to have. They were going to perform some miracle in a dry desert and turn it into a great grassy oasis overnight. Yes, that's true. But 9/11, hey, wouldn't you know it, these people threw a couple of airplanes into some buildings, killed about 5,000 people, and we think they're going to destroy themselves, you know. So hopefully that won't happen, people. We need to all make a difference in the world to prevent that from happening. I beg you, please, help make the world a better place. So as I was saying, generally speaking, the IFSP is successful in their routine universal exploration, encounters with alien civilizations, and their admittance into the fold. However, they will occasionally encounter violent and aggressive species. These civilizations have a history of war and fighting, are savage and ferocious in nature, with warrior tendencies, hello, they remind you of anybody, have not evolved sufficiently, and are presently not willing or able to conform to peaceful standards. Hey, I wrote that. My book. It is interesting to note that none of these particular species are permitted by the IFSP to transcend their planet's atmosphere without first changing their disposition. Space is a peaceful frontier, and the members of the IFSP are determined to keep it that way. Our planet Earth is borderline. In other words, although we have a history of war and savagery, there is also much good, like I said, observed in the members of our different societies and in their deeds as well. Following 9/11 and the war in Iraq, our present status is on probation, people. Probation. Oh, would you rather stay in this world and still have these wars pop up, or do you want to just take it to a higher level? You know, get to see our intergalactic brothers and sisters who are also created by the supreme creator of the universe. Don't you want that? Why not? You're holding me back. Hey, you shouldn't be holding me back. You need to change, because I want that. But no, they say that we can't handle it. We can't handle the truth. We're going to panic. Oh, no, we're going to have that 1,000-meter stare in our eyes, that here in the headlights look when we see these extraterrestrials, because we know, we will know that they are so intelligent, their presence will just floor us, like getting hit with a sledgehammer, you know, that kind of thing. Before I talk about other beings, I'll relate what I know about humans. The Milky Way galaxy is the galaxy of human beings. However, there are other species living here as well, and there are humans in other galaxies throughout the universe. The original Mother God, the original Creator, who is both male and female, resides on the great central sun of the universe, but we also have a great central sun in the Milky Way galaxy. All human beings throughout the galaxy were created in their image, and so will others be as the galaxy continues to expand. It does. It's expanding right now. New solar systems are being formed. There are approximately 1,800,000 planets that are inhabited by human beings. There are approximately 1,800,000 planets that are inhabited by human beings. Among the 10 million plus suns in our galaxy, our scientists and astronomers have a tendency to exaggerate numbers in this and other matters. We should not believe everything we are told, people, only some of it. On those planets, there are approximately 340 different types of human beings. 340, remember that number, 340 different types of human beings. Their heights can vary from as small as 2 feet to as large as 10 feet tall. Of those, there are some who resemble us. Others, however, can be very thin and slender, while others are wide and large with variations in between. Some can be square-shaped, even. There are types that have less fingers and toes, while others have more. Exactly how many I don't know. Toes and fingers, that is. Some bodies have more than one thumb and or toe. Most breathe air, of different percentages of nitrogen, oxygen, and carbon dioxide, A, but there are some that don't breathe. We here on our planet are the two brain type. There are others that have one or even three brains. Facial features vary. Oriental, for example, Asian, but the same commonalities of those features exist among all of the human beings. The color of the skin can vary. These colors include black, white, yellow, red, blue, green, and orange. The coarseness of the skin, also varies from smooth like ours to a type that is very coarse and resembles scales like a snake or the bark of a tree. Hair color can also be of different colors to include brown, black, blonde, white, red, blue, or even multicolored hair. Some hair may even appear to be similar to feathers. Eye shape and size varies as well as the color. One type I read about has eyes like those of a fly. For all the beings in our galaxy and elsewhere throughout the universe, it is the conditions on the planet that they live, atmosphere, gravity, etc., that determines the details of their physical body. Are you surprised about all this, friends? Don't be. Our creator is an amazing, awesome body maker. Running out of time, my friend. And truly, you know, if God, if you admit that God is all-powerful, yeah, the creator of the universe, all-powerful, in other words, there is nothing that he, she can't do. There is nothing that he, she doesn't know. Yeah? Then, if you agree on that, you have to agree that the creator then can create anything, anything, anywhere. Yeah? You didn't get it. Let me say it again. If the creator is all-powerful and omniscient, the creator can create anything, any type of body, anywhere throughout the universe, his, her universe, anywhere, anybody, any type of body, whether it's one of a million types of insects like here on Earth, or thousands of types of amphibians, mammals, reptiles, birds, fish, all the different trees, plants and flowers, and fruits and vegetables. The creator is awesome. It's totally awesome, people. Don't you worry. I'm just having fun. I love my radio show. And for you people out there that are passionate about a subject, you need to, and you can afford it, $55. I don't know what the going rate is right now. I shouldn't say that. But my point is, you can use BBS Radio as a medium yourself to share your passion with the world and help make it a better place, my friend. Time has flown by. Time will fly by. And for those of you that might be a little bit shy, a little bit nervous about public speaking, you'll get over it. All you need to do is just have your mind go blank a few times, and then you realize all of a sudden, hey, I can take my time. I don't have to say anything if I don't want to, and you can't make me. But then when I want to talk, I can. I'll scream if I have to. I'll yell at the top of my lungs if that makes me feel better. But I won't be shy anymore. I'm going to be courageous. I'm not going to be a coward. Public speaking doesn't scare me. Some people say they'd rather die than talk in front of 1,000 people. No. That's not the way to think, my friend. If I was to put you on the stage in front of 1,000 people and walk up on the stage and you were there nervous, embarrassed, and I walk up to you and poked you in one of your eyes, okay, that would change your mind quickly. I'm just kidding. Okay, I wouldn't do that. I'm a nice guy. You know, I only talk about positive things, don't I? If I said anything negative, think quickly. Have I said anything bad on the show? I might have said that. I'm just joking with you, okay? I'm just trying to have you come around to my point of view? You know, if you're listening to my show, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I don't even know how many there are out there listening. I know there's somebody in China who's listening, okay? I just know it. I feel there's someone in China. So let me say a prayer because I'm going to be, I think my time's about up. Great, wonderful, supreme creator of the universe. You are both male and female because that is what you are. And you decided at one time that you were going to put a part of you into us, an infinitesimal piece of your spirit. And when we were created in heaven, in that spirit world, as spirits, before we come to Earth, we're on a planet in the physical universe, you split us up into a male and female aspect so that we can one day become co-creator God, like your children, and then ultimately one day assimilate all of the knowledge and experiences that we've had in our soul journeys into the ocean of your loving spirit, like a drop of water, adding, helping it grow. Supreme Creator, you are so awesome. Thank you for the miracles of all creation. We love you very much because your love for us is incredible. What you've given us, the miracle of life each and every day. We go to sleep and we wake up. We don't know if perhaps you will call us at that time. Yet, I've got so many days here on earth, thousands of days. I'll be 64 in a few days. And I thank you. Thank you for seeing me through some difficult times, for saving my life. And indeed, you did. Supreme Creator, I know that we have a Mother God and a Father God on the sun here in our solar system, the spirit world, the fire of God, a very special fire where our spirits can live because they're made of light energy. But I pray to you, Supreme Creator, that you are worthy of praise forever and ever for the miracles of those creations, for the miracle of creating all those beings out there, all those bodies, because you are indeed an awesome body maker, God. All the things that you created, who knows what else is out there that we haven't seen or don't know about that you have created. But we love you and thank you. Please be with us. Protect us. I'll see you in a couple of weeks, my friend, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tell your friends to listen. The more the merrier, right? Okay. I love you. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.